Welcome, Truth Seekers, to the Deep Dive. We are here with the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing, the alternative news for the week of November 21st, on behalf of the Great Awakening Report.
It's great to be here.
And if you feel like the ground, you know, the very ground beneath all these established systems is shaking, well, you are absolutely right. But this isn't about panic. It's about recognizing the pattern.
That recognition is everything. I mean, our mission here is to navigate a world that is just saturated with these engineered narratives. Awakening, in this context, it just means reclaiming the sovereignty of your mind, of your energy.
And we do that with a specific approach, right?
Right. We approach this not through sensationalism, but through grounded, rational, critical thinking. It's about discerning the patterns that all the noise is designed to obscure.
We're not just reading the headlines. We are dissecting the script. And this week, we have a really clear look at the structural limits being tested, I mean, all across the globe.
Yeah, and we're drawing insights from, you know, geopolitics, huge economic shifts, institutional collapse, even solar activity, and how that connects to consciousness.
And that's the fascinating part, that dual nature.
It is. It's both external, you know, exposing this narrative of instability, and it's internal. It's that emotional recalibration you need to hold the truth without being pulled into fear.
That clarity, that intuition, that's what we're aiming for.
Absolutely.
So let's unpack this. Let's jump right into the geopolitical landscape, starting with the war in Ukraine. Our sources are pointing to a major inflection point, a U.S.-drafted peace plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the critical question is this actually diplomacy, or is it something else entirely?
Well, the source material is pretty clear. This is far more than some sudden desire for peace.
Mm-hmm.
It really reflects the calculated limits of Western endurance.
So an exit strategy.
It's an exit strategy, plain and simple. Mm. After all the military and financial depletion, the whole geopolitical calculus has just shifted. You've got internal fatigue, upcoming elections, and frankly, bigger global priorities.
So the war isn't ending because it's been won. It's ending because the strategy is just, it's not sustainable anymore.
Precisely. And Moscow is reading this perfectly. For them, this plan, it validates their entire strategy.
Which is to just wait it out.
To endure. Yeah. To wait for the political and economic fractures to show up in the West. This strengthens their resolve because it proves that time and attrition, they were their biggest allies.
And this is where that narrative watch comes in, you know. How do you prepare the public for an outcome that's so different from the victory they were promised?
You're already seeing it. The mainstream headlines are softening expectations. They're framing territorial concessions, not as a defeat, but as necessary or pragmatic.
Difficult choices.
Difficult choices, exactly. That shift in tone is the clearest signal you can get that an outcome is being manufactured behind the scenes.
And it connects to the bigger picture.
It does. The driving force here is the U.S. priority shift. It's about pivoting resources to counter China, to try and stabilize the Middle East.
Yeah.
The war is being rebranded as diplomacy because the strategic imperative has changed. It's a resource management decision, not a moral one.
Speaking of geopolitical pressure points, let's pivot south. The crisis along the U.S. border, but specifically the unrest and volatility happening inside Mexico.
Yeah.
Our sources are saying the cartel escalation, the protests, it's not just random violence. It's a sign of a much deeper structural problem.
What's really significant here is the breakdown in state legitimacy.
Mm.
When cartels go from being, you know, just criminal gangs to parallel power structures.
Well, what do you mean by that? Like, what does that look like?
It means they're collecting taxes. They're providing security, mediating disputes. When that happens, it signals a sovereignty crisis. The government is losing its monopoly on force. It can't control its own territory.
And then we saw the U.S. respond with some very charged rhetoric, hinting at military strikes against cartels inside Mexico. And Mexico's leadership, they just immediately rejected them.
Publicly, yeah.
Why is that specific dispute so crucial?
Because it's a question of control. When two nations publicly fight over jurisdiction, over operational control of a border, that line on a map instantly turns into a massive geopolitical pressure point.
And it's not just a two-sided fight.
No, not at all. You're looking at an emerging tripolar conflict. You've got the weakening central state, the empowered non-state actors, the cartels, and then the foreign power, the U.S., threatening to intervene.
And that's a pattern we should be watching for.
It's a key pattern. It's how you spot global conflicts in their early stages. A weakening central authority, a power vacuum, and non-state actors rushing in to fill it.
That structural decline, it's not just at the borders, it's systemic. Let's move to the economy, because the market shocks we're seeing, They are not random. The sources are calling it the global everything contraction.
Yeah, and the core insight is this. The markets aren't just volatile. They're reacting to a coordinated withdrawal of debt.
So all these different crises, they're connected.
They're all symptoms of the same thing. The collapsing tech and AI valuations, Japan's currency crisis, the debt pressure in emerging markets, it all signals the definitive end of that economic model built on decades of cheap money.
You mentioned the tech and AI valuations collapsing. For someone listening, what does that specific piece tell us about the whole system?
It signals fragility right under the surface. So much of the recent growth, quote unquote, was just speculation. It was all reliant on zero interest rates and these, you know, massive unrealistic projections.
So it was a bubble.
A huge bubble. And when the liquidity tightens, these highly leveraged speculative sectors, they collapse first. It shows you exactly where the institutional risk is hiding.
And we're even getting signals from the institutions themselves, like the Federal Reserve quietly warning about private credit and the risks from AI-driven trading.
And Europe's been even more blunt. They've admitted their economic model is, and I'm quoting here, geared for a disappearing world.
Wow.
These are not just market wobbles. These are fault lines. They show the old architecture is just, it's running out of steam. We are watching the end of a 50-year debt cycle.
And while this is all happening, there's this illusion of stability they have to maintain. Our sources say the official employment numbers are deeply misleading.
They are. It's the rise of part-time gig work, corporate layoffs that they call restructuring, and of course, aggressive automation.
So people feel poorer even if the numbers say things are okay.
Exactly. Because their stability has been eroded, the data is being used to mask a fundamental lack of real opportunity and the decline of the middle class. That's the real sign that the debt cycle has peaked.
Moving from economic fractures to institutional ones, let's talk about the Epstein files, this sudden bipartisan push to release portions of them. A lot of people saw this as a moral reckoning, but our sources frame it very differently.
Yes. They frame it as a political tactic. What's fascinating is the mechanism itself. We call it a carefully managed burn.
A managed burn.
When institutions are this unstable and public trust is dissolving, you strategically sacrifice some low to mid-level players. It's a classic narrative containment strategy. It redirects public anger while protecting the core structure.
So it's not about ethics, it's about leverage. But if the goal is to shield the core, why not just block their release entirely? Why allow the burn at all?
Yeah, it's a great question. They allow it because you have competing elite factions that are all trying to get an advantage in this shifting landscape.
Mm.
Releasing some names satisfies the public outrage, sure, but it also provides leverage against specific political opponents.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the heavy redactions make sure that the critical nodes, the intelligence agency involvement, the highest political dynasties, they all stay protected.
So the Epstein network was just one node in a much bigger web.
Exactly. And the subtle permission to release some information, it signals that the web itself is under pressure. Elite groups are using controlled exposure to jostle for position.
So for you, the truth seeker, the key is to watch not just what's revealed, but what, by design, remains hidden. And you have to ask, who benefits from the timing of this exposure? It's a strategic move you only make when institutional confidence is at rock bottom.
This external instability, the wars, the failing economies, the fracturing institutions, it makes this next section so critical. Let's shift our focus completely from human-made systems to, well, forces far beyond our control, cosmic cycles and consciousness.
This is where we connect the dots between the internal and the external. Alternative researchers are noting that solar activity is intensifying. You've got CMEs, magnetic field anomalies. All of it points to the Earth being under an unprecedented energetic stress.
And the connection to us is, it's profound. I mean, people are reporting spikes in anxiety, sleep disturbances, intense dreams, intuitive surges. And these states correlate so strongly with geomagnetic activity. It's hard to ignore. It raises that really important question. How tightly are consciousness and cosmic cycles truly intertwined? The Earth's systems are reacting, and our own inner systems, our nervous systems, our emotional fields, they're reacting just as strongly.
The planet and humanity are moving in sync.
We are.
Which feeds into this larger narrative that societal collapse and these cosmic cycles are triggering what's often called a threshold event.
A species-level transition. As the old fear-based structures dissolve externally, individuals are being driven internally toward a much greater awareness.
So that inner move is what some sources call the shift from, like, mind consciousness to heart consciousness.
Right. A state of coherence, clarity, and intuition. Some label it 5D awareness, which just means a higher frequency perception, one that's grounded in clarity over confusion. The instability is the catalyst. It's forcing the shift.
Okay, let's tie all of these threads together now. We've covered wars shifting to managed exits, economies hitting their limits, institutions scrambling for legitimacy, and cosmic forces accelerating everything. These are not disconnected crises.
They are absolutely not disconnected. They are synchronized symptoms, symptoms of a global operating system hitting its absolute structural limit. This threshold event is that moment where the old paradigms just can't sustain themselves any longer.
So the external breakdown, all the chaos, it's serving as a massive mirror. It's reflecting the necessity of an internal awakening.
Exactly. As systems weaken, people are forced to question things. As narratives crack, truth emerges.
And the profound insight this week is that the old center isn't holding, because a new center is forming.
A new center that isn't political or economic. It's one grounded in individual awareness, in discernment, coherence, and that intuitive perception. It's a new standard of inner reliance.
And for you, the listener, you are standing right in the middle of two worlds. One is fading fast, and the other is accelerating into existence. You're not a spectator here. You're a participant. You are an architect.
As we close out this week's deep dive, we want to bring it right back to where it all begins and ends. Your inner world. That remains the most powerful territory you can possibly navigate and master.
So we'll leave you with four core principles to hold this week. They're designed to keep your inner field anchored. First, release fear, reclaim sovereignty. Fear is the oldest tool of control. Choosing courage over contraction, that's your first line of defense.
Second, clear your field. This means forgiveness, an emotional reset, letting go of old wounds. When you consciously release that baggage, the past loses its grip and you restore your inner clarity.
Third, return to the breath. Use your breath to shift from a state of constant reaction to a state of observation. This is how you watch the movie without unconsciously being an actor in it.
And finally, fourth, lead with a volunteer heart. Let integrity be your compass. Choosing compassion and authenticity in your daily choices, it raises the frequency of your personal field and, by extension, the collective field around you.
Which brings us to our final provocative question for the week. Take this with you. Are you consciously watching the movie or unconsciously acting in it?
Yeah. Are you anchored in that self-mastery or are you being pulled into the storm around you? Are you responding with awareness or just reacting from old habits?
Remember, ascending out of the matrix is not some single dramatic event. It's a daily devotion to sovereignty, to clarity, and alignment. One choice, one thought.
One breath at a time. Until next time, stay awake, stay sovereign, and stay connected. Keep discerning and keep rising.